Hey, hey, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, May 25th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me! I'm so glad today has finally rolled around because sex educator, blogger, author, motivational speaker, founder of the American Fertility Association, and delightful diva, Pamela Madsen, promised she'd be back to dispense more of her signature sex wisdom, and sure enough, she's waiting in the wings. But wait, you didn't miss part one of this show, which appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you gotta do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 279, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Pamela invites you to visit her on her site, beingshameless.com. She has a column at psychologytoday.com called Shameless Woman. She writes for fertilityadvocate.com, and she's on Facebook and Twitter. If you can't remember all of this, you can find all of these links in today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this edgy sex wisdom series. It's Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yesiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salespeople scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You will be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Pamela Madsen, thank you for coming back. I could hardly live the whole week without you. You're my best friend for life now, forever.
I love that.
Good. Because, I mean, you and I think a lot alike, and I was so impressed by your presentation last week, and the fact that we can have so much fun about talking about such a serious topic. So anyhow, we sadly had to interrupt you last week about your personal journey to find your bliss, and you brought us right up to the point of where you were surrendering, and then we had to cut you off. Like, how rude was that? But it was a great cliffhanger, was it not, for a whole week? Didn't people want to rush back here to the end of the story? I know I did.
Yeah, I think so. We were talking about
your erotic massage?
My book, Shameless. Yes,
that's right.
My story of how I ditched the diet, got naked, found true pleasure, and somehow got home in time to cook dinner. And I was somewhere kind of giving a little bits and tastes of where I was in my story. And I didn't want to have, you know, affairs. And so I was looking for a way to express myself sexually and stumbled onto the world of erotic and sensual massage. Uh-huh. And figured out there was nothing for women, and there were gay men and who were doing this for other gay men. And so I wrote to them. I was like, hi, I'm Pamela. Only used a pseudonym because I was shy then.
Right.
And, I said, I know I have ovaries. but I don't really want anything more from you than you want to give me.
Right.
And would you like to expand your practice and work on a woman?
Mm-hmm.
So the book takes you through my really fabulous and fun adventures and my kind of weak starts, because
mm-hmm.
It didn't go so smoothly initially, but it made for a great read. And and, you know, until I found my way into the first man that I worked with, Marcus. And Marcus is a gay sacred intimate in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very involved in all the things that are now a part of my life, like Body Electric. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he and Sexological Body Work and Joseph Kramer and all the
absolutely.
Stars, you know.
Joseph and I are classmates. We went to college together. Well, graduate school, anyhow.
Oh, fabulous. Well, he's one of my teachers. And so introduced me to this world of sacred intimacy and what it was. And, you know, and so it's a fabulous love story, really.
It is, it is.
It's a fabulous love story. You know, really what can happen between, you know, a straight woman and a gay man, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When we let go of our labels
mm-hmm.
and just be sexual beings together,
mm-hmm.
what can unfold?
Right.
And how he helped me and then introduced me, because he was generous. He didn't try to hook me,
right,
you know, into being his client. You know, he wanted me to learn to dance with my tribe of women. And as a straight woman, that was scary to me. Ooh, lesbian, I'm not that. Well, guess what?
Not so fast.
Right. I found out that, you know, I'm a little crooked. You know, I can appreciate women. And
you couldn't have all these wonderful women friends that you write about so beautifully without having some kind of sexual energy. It doesn't have to be genital necessarily,
right.
But you know, there's got to be that, you know, that root connection, does it not?
On some level. And I think that, you know, and so Marcus made that safe for me, and really, you know, it took him a lot to get me there.
Yeah.
But he got me to Body Erotic for Women and
introduced
me to queer women who nurtured me as a crooked woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much from being with a tribe of women. And, you know, and then he helped me really come to terms with who I was as a core erotic creature.
Wow.
You know, what that was. And the talk about shame. And, you know, in our first interview last week, you know, we talked about Coco de Mer and what's kinky and what's perverted and why we feel shame. Well, I had a lot of shame.
Yeah.
I didn't want anyone to know that this really strong, dominant creature really wanted some man to pick her up and throw her over his shoulder and throw her onto a bed and tie me up and ravage me.
Yeah.
With a little spanking.
Mm-hmm. And dirty talk, maybe a little tiny bit of dirty talk would be lovely.
A pat of color, you know, up in your ball gag ever. Thank you.
Because I need to express myself
constantly. Even if it's just ha, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, he helped me share what really was going on for me, which I hadn't my whole life. And that was a lot of courage. And then he introduced me to other sacred intimates who mm-hmm. became really important to me as well, mm-hmm. the man otherwise known as Hank,
mm-hmm.
Who also really made it safe for me to speak desire. I think what's important to say about desire is we can have it and not act on it.
Yes. Acknowledging it is, but it's essential to acknowledge it. Because
right.
to not acknowledge it or to disown it, we do ourselves a huge disservice.
Exactly. And so I learned the difference between having desire and acting on desire. I learned that within boundaries, I could go to sexual spaces within my own self.
Ah, good for you.
Within my own self. That changed my life, that it wasn't about him or her. In the end, my sexuality was about me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another term I'd like to introduce outside of sacred intimacy, which is sexological body work.
Mm-hmm.
And sexological body work is a real live profession.
Yes.
And it's taught through the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, and people can find the Professional Association of Sexological Body Workers online, and it is legal in California, and it is certified, and it was created by the fabulous Joseph Kramer, who created initially the term sacred intimate.
Right.
And who created
the body. And one of the founders of Body Electric.
Yes. And, you know, the profession of sexological body work is about one-way touch.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the professional keeps his pants or her pants on. They're not naked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you may be naked as the client.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the client traveling within their own body and learning about themselves.
Right.
And really much of the work I did, even before it was called sexological body work, really was sexological body work.
Yes.
Even one time or more than once before Marcus took the training, which he did, he once or twice he was naked. It wasn't about partner engagement with him. It was always directed at me, where I learned to, this is really big, people, to receive pleasure.
Yeah. And so many of us don't know how to do that. Like, I do body work myself. You know, I have a private mm-hmm. practice in body work. And my clients, I always have to tell them, this is not about me. This is about you. And if you relax into this and receive, you're going to have a much better experience than if you don't. If you're trying to help me, or if you're trying to lift your arm when I'm trying to if you're trying to anticipate my moves, then you're not receiving.
That's why I needed ropes.
I should introduce that into my practice and see if that works.
I think ropes are fabulous. You know, 80% of all people want to be tied up. Did you know that?
Yes.
They even talked about it on the Today Show. I love that. Even though Kathy Lee Griffith was like squirming in her panties.
Yes.
She was so uncomfortable. They had the paddle there and the blindfold and the ropes.
Right
there on the Today Show on a buffet of sex.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's really, really interesting that most of us want this because we it's so hard for us.
It's all about surrender, and we talked about that last week. It's surrendering.
It's
relinquishing control. You know, however we do that, I mean, we have to do it in our lives a lot. I mean, we have to relinquish control to a boss or to perhaps a partner. Sometimes we have to do it to our kids. Sometimes we have to do it, how we drive our car, and to all kinds of authority figures in our life. And so we have some practice in doing that, but sometimes it's wrestled away from us instead of we relinquishing, and that's a big difference, it seems to me.
Yes, and I had to learn about power, surrender, and intimacy.
Yes.
And I was able to take those lessons that I learned with my sacred intimate and then sexological body worker and then, oh yes, pro-dom. And I was able to take those lessons and actually translate it
mm-hmm.
Into my own life, because I was used to be just a bull in a china shop.
Mm-hmm.
I had no subtlety. And just be kind.
And now you're subtle? Wait a second. And now, wait a second.
Be nice.
I should have known you back then, don't you know?
You know what? I guess I'm still, some people love to call me a force of nature.
Yes.
But I like to believe now that I'm a force of nature that doesn't kill people.
Mm-hmm.
My feminine is very strong, and I'm a bit like the Colorado River.
Mm-hmm.
I flow better when there are river banks around me.
Yeah, that's
and
so true.
Where the banks hold me and contain me. And that way, my river doesn't overflow the banks and kill the poor villagers.
Yeah.
And by playing with power and surrender, I actually learned to modulate my energy.
Yeah.
And,
how beautiful.
And when someone else needs to be dominant, smelling that and letting them, Yeah. And I actually learned, well, then I actually got more of what I needed. I'm talking about in business. I'm
Absolutely.
Talking about at the checkout line with the grocery store, you know, who needed to be dominant. So why would I push my energy against hers? I learned, I could go right below her and let her be the
top. You lose nothing.
Actually, I win.
Absolutely.
And I learned
this
that.
This is why we have you on the Sex Wisdom Podcast, darling, because if you aren't the wisest woman I've talked to in a long time, I don't know who the fuck is.
Oh, you know, what can I tell you? But I studied hard. And I paid a lot of big prices.
Yes.
You know, for my transformation. And not everybody approved.
Yeah.
And, you know, I founded the American Fertility Association. I founded this fabulous organization, which still exists. You know, but they weren't so happy with my blogging, and you know, people are not always sure how this translates into pharmaceutical sponsorships or family building or whatever. And the fact is, I'm doing just fine.
Yes.
But it was very painful for me because I have felt shamed for being shameless.
Yes.
And
isn't that a curious thing?
Yes, it is. It's a very curious thing.
Because the more that we throw our own personal shame off, there's people standing in line ready to add to our shame burden. Is that
right.
not true?
It's totally true. And so, you know, it's a daily practice for me. You know, and so I tell people, you know, it's okay if you're feeling shame, if you're feeling self-loathing. Oh, God, look at that belly. You know, so feel it. Okay, there's a belly there. Now what? Can we move to your beautiful, you know, hairy chest or your beautiful breasts?
Right.
You know, so feel
your lovely
shame.
Face, your beautiful your lovely, hair, your lovely
yeah.
eyes. Your nice feet, you know, I mean, it's a package, is it not?
Right.
I mean, you can always focus in on something that is really icky.
Right. We all have those icky places, even those of us who some of us may covet,
yeah.
right?
Oh, it's so true. It's so
yeah.
true. Some of the things that we hate about ourselves most are the things that people love us most for.
One of my favorite scenes in the book is when I was at that, you know, workshop in New Mexico, and I'm floating in the water, and my boobs are, like, up, and I'm feeling just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Too big, too fat, my tits are too big, and this gal who is slim and beautiful with her coiffed pubic hair and her, you know, B-sized titties that did way up high, you know, said to me, Pamela, can I tell you something? And I was like, if you have to, right?
You know? You have to talk to me, please.
Right, you have to even notice that I'm here, sure. And she said to me, you know, I'm sitting here feeling so envious of your beautiful breasts. I'm wanting your breasts. They're so beautiful. And it was like, wow, she's wanting my breasts.
Okay, but just maybe this once.
Right.
No, buzz off.
Right. So it was this beautiful exchange
yeah, isn't
between
that grand?
Two women, you know, and she wasn't, you know, making a sexual advance.
Right.
She was just simply telling me I was beautiful.
Yeah.
And in a moment when I was feeling so not beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's so good to remind us of each other of that. And I always say to people, be generous. You know, be generous with your mouth. Be generous with your eyes. Tell people they've got pretty earrings are, or you think they're hot. What was the first thing I said to you when I looked at that picture? I went, oh, Richard, you're hot. Now, I could have thought that and not
yeah.
said it, right?
Yeah.
But I've really encouraged myself
yeah.
to say it.
Yeah. And a lot of people are put off by that because, you know, they think it's a sexual come-on. And then when they recognize that we're just being generous and we're just being, you know, a normal human being that is acknowledging something that is true and obvious, then, you know, they relax, we relax, everyone relaxes, and we're much better people.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, it is a risk, right? Because when we are generous too, we take away that cloak of, while we are taking away the cloak of invisibility off of the person that we're saying, I see you, mm-hmm. right? We're also being seen. Mm-hmm. And that can be scary for people. Mm-hmm. You know, I this is like a major exercise for me with my coaching clients. It's like week one or week two, we do this, we start to play with this. You know, and some of the women say to me, you know, but I'm frightened that if I say hello, or if I say something nice, I'll get stuck in a conversation I don't want to be in, or, you know, they'll think I'm coming on to them, and it's a lot of work for them to just sort of get through, that people generally will take it as you mean it.
Right.
And generally, you're just making somebody's day. You know, it's so beautiful, Richard, to be seen, isn't it?
It is. It is, it is, it is. But it is challenging, too, because, you know, there's a lot of people who prey upon people who are upfront and obvious and open and available, and you know that. But that's part of living as well, and one learns to deal with that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, are so attached to their chains, to their invisibility, that they want to hurt people who are visible and without chains. And you know, that breaks my heart. But again, that's part of, you know, being human.
And we either live in fear or we don't.
Yes.
So we take chances.
Yeah.
And look, you know, look, I have got my chin punched lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had it kissed way more.
Right.
You know, and I mean energetically kissed. Honey, sweetheart, husband, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I prefer to live in that place. And really what my book is all about, and what my story and what I write about and what I believe in, is about how do we open our hearts, how do we open our bodies to pleasure, that by allowing ourselves to have pleasure,
mm-hmm.
That we can transform how we feel about our bodies, we can transform how we interact with our partners, with our loved, with our children, if we have children, even with our animals. I swear to God, your cooking will taste better.
Yes.
You know, because it really is that transformational. And I had this one guy on Amazon who said that I was a bad person and that I was narcissistic. That's when they like to where
right.
I get criticized,
right.
is I get told that I'm narcissistic.
Because women are not supposed to be like you.
No, we're not supposed to want pleasure or seek pleasure for pleasure's sake.
Or be upfront about what we like or what we want.
Right, and have boundaries. That really confuses people. You know, it was so interesting. You know, when we first went out to sell the book, and we actually did get interest, but like 25 houses read the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we had like four or five major houses come to the table. Rodale purchased my book, which is fabulous, the health, organic, spiritual publisher,
right.
who wants you to have healthy carrots.
Mm-hmm.
They bought my book because mm-hmm. they recognized
right.
that this was a book that was about healing. And, you know, guess what, people? It's okay to care about self. It's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay even to be two sexual beings in one relationship.
Right.
It doesn't make you evil.
Right.
If you have different sexual needs than your beloved.
Right.
There are places where you can meet and where you can be safe and have agreement and be apart. I just don't believe in secrecy.
Right.
I believe in privacy.
So that gets me, with the little time that we have left today, your recipe, which is outlined in the title of your book, and what we've been talking about all this time, last week and this, is ditch the diet, get naked, find true pleasure. But the most important thing, at least for me, the thing that was such a clincher for me, is your last part, getting home in time to cook dinner. And that's a metaphor for all of the things that people are so afraid to do is, you know, that if I follow my bliss, I will lose my way. I'll never find my way back home to make dinner for the people that love me and I love. That's not true, is it?
My book is about staying and not leaving.
Yes.
Right. And that's actually what I was talking about with the publishing houses. That was so hard for some people to get.
Yes.
Is that we're so used to the desperate housewife scenario, right? Or the dog man, right? The man who's a dog who marries his secretary, right? My story is about how do you find your sexual bliss and stay within your marriage or your partnership or with your beloved.
Yes.
I believe in staying, even when staying is hard, because I believe that stuff just keeps unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we should be allowed some privacy.
Yes. Inside of a relationship, yes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Not secrets.
Me too. That's true enough. Absolutely.
Not secrets, privacy. And there's a big difference. So, you know, if people read Shameless, there's a part of my book where I keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell, and then we live with privacy. And that's a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Body Electric weekend for women this weekend. And,
oh, cool.
And my, didn't want to go. My husband said, oh, go, go, go. You'll feel so much better if you just go. And I went and I came back and he said, did you have a good time? And I said, yes. And he said, you want Chinese? And I said, sure. And we kind of moved on with our life. He really doesn't want to know. He doesn't get it. He doesn't want to get it.
Mm-hmm.
He just knows he has a happy wife.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to him. My husband has his own things. They actually don't involve sacred intimates, body electrics, you know, erotic massages, or gay men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has his own fetishes. They're his. How he chooses to explore them, it's his business.
Mm-hmm. And giving permission to one another to be able to do that, to, you know, go explore and come back, either tell me or not, but, you know, enrich my life, for goodness sake. I mean, instead of just plumping ourselves down in front of the TV set as a couple or as a family, I mean, enrich me. I'll enrich you if you enrich me.
Yes, and we're happier. And, you know, we're a happier couple. We hold hands,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we walk down the street. And, you know, some people say, oh, you know, that poor, poor man. Oh, that's another, like, Amazon thing. You know, there's two people that don't like me. you know, they'll say that poor man. Well, that poor man, you know, has a shit-eating grin on his face, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No one has to worry about my husband. My children are successful.
Mm-hmm.
My cat is happy. You know? You know, we're really a happy family.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're really... As extraordinary as my tale may seem for those who choose to pick it up and read it, please know it has a very happy ending.
Right.
You're speaking to that very happy voice of a woman in full.
Right.
And that's what I've become.
Not without your issues, not without, I mean, you didn't, you know, die and become a Buddha someplace. You are still, you know, trying to make your way through a difficult world, but you are confident, you are full, you are fertile, as you say, and that is extraordinary. What more could a person want?
And everybody can have it. There's no magic here.
Right. That's so true.
You know, this is not like some fancy diet book. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, and I love supporting people now. I call it when they want to take the shameless journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love supporting them on their shameless journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all possible, and we're not all ready, okay, to go hop on a table. And that may not even be your shameless journey.
That's true.
Your shameless journey may be hopping out of an airplane.
Exactly.
But take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
Is this where the shameless community on your site comes in?
Oh, thank you for mentioning my shameless community. Yes. Well, first of all, it's gated, so there's a little fee, and I do that so we don't have trolls who come in just to bother us. It's for men and women.
Right.
It's a lot of women, but I do have some men on there, and they're queer, they're straight, they're I should probably say straight and queer. A lot of straight women, but we have queer people, and...
Right.
Gender fluid people, and I have videos in the community of the most fabulous...
The Sex Wisdom video series, yes?
Yes, it basically kind of is. Yeah, I have all these fabulous sacred healers from around the country videotaped in there. I'm up there talking about pleasure and obstacles to pleasure, message boards, blogs, community, places to talk in a safe way. It's not a place to pick up people. It's not a place to find a date.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place to come with yourself, to be yourself, and share that stuff with each other.
Right.
Because I didn't have me when I was going through this, Richard.
I know. I mean, all of us who, you know, are creating new paths, we're doing that, you know, being out in front, and, you know, I'm happy to accept that. I've made my peace with my life that I don't have a whole lot of kindred spirits, you know, out here in front. But, you know, I like the fact that when I do find somebody who is, you know, carving his or her own path, like yourself, it's so enriching, and I feel so confident that, you know, I'm doing the right thing because I see myself reflected back in you, and that makes all the difference in the world.
I'm so grateful to have you.
Thank you.
And because it can feel lonely, and I think the fact is, though, that it shouldn't be lonely.
No.
Because really, this is everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? It really is everybody. And so it's about making it safe for everybody
mm-hmm.
To say what it is they have to say, to express themselves in any way they can. I mean, I bump up against it like in a gazillion ways.
Yes.
I mean, here I was at Body Electric, right? And there was a queer woman who was talking about the straighties, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, those straighties. And I was like, whoa, excuse me. But, you know, you could be talking about me.
Yes.
And if you want me to be respectful about what pronoun to use when I'm talking about you, then you need to be respectful to me.
Right.
And you don't really know what's going on in my life. It's just what you think is going on in my life when you call women or men who live monogamous lives in the suburbs straighties. You don't have a clue, baby.
You don't
have a clue of what's going on in my bedroom or in my life. So I think it's about respecting and loving and supporting each other and being sexual beings and losing the shame and, you know, om, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sounding a little woo-woo right now, and sometimes I get a little woo-woo, even in Riverdale in the Bronx.
But you go ahead and be woo-woo if you want to, because... You know, you've earned it, and I'm so glad that you've taken this time to share with us. Our time is up again for today. As you can see, we could go on, and perhaps we will have an opportunity to talk together again, because you are this fabulously wise woman, and
thank you.
And the world is... a better place that you're in it, and that you've taken the opportunity to share your wisdom with us in your book, on your blogs, and in this podcast. We're also the better for it, too.
Oh, yum. Could you shameless plug?
Please do. Go ahead.
So I'm shameless on Facebook, so follow me, Pamela Madsen, Madsen, and I always say don't go after the music person. Please double check. And she's famous and lovely in Fullington, California. Don't friend her unless you really want to. Follow me on Facebook at Pamela Madsen. Come to my blog, beingshameless.com. It's my website. Learn about my book. You know, see me in person. See my community. I'm Shameless Woman at Psychology Today. And if you... know someone who's struggling with infertility, come to the Fertility Advocate, because that's where my roots are.
Cool. And with that, my dear, we must say goodbye. The best of luck to you.
Thank you.
You are a joy. You have me as your wingman, and and I can count on you. So
absolutely.
Be well, be happy,
okay.
And we'll
Bye-bye.
Chat again soon.
And
bye.
Smooches, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. What a marvelous show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or all the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part about this unique opportunity is that once your sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me through my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.